Hi, I'm Jeremy Schwartz, host of American Criminal. In our latest season, the child of Italian immigrants sets out to achieve the American dream. And if he has to spill some blood along the way, so be it. Listen to American Criminal, Al Capone, wherever you get your podcasts. Or to get ad-free access to the entire season first, subscribe at IntoHistory.com.
This podcast is supported by Morgan Stanley.
What do you get from the Morgan Stanley client experience? Listening more than talking, and a personalized plan to guide you through a changing world.
To learn more, visit morganstanley.com/YUS. Investing involves risk. Morgan Stanley Smith Barney LLC.
Welcome to the OC, bitches.
Welcome to the OC, bitches. Should we try that different every time?
Yeah, I think so. Today we're doing season one, episode 18, titled The Truth.
Oh, boy. It's the last Oliver episode.
Woo-hoo!
So what's the synopsis, Rachel?
Well, the synopsis is Ryan feels alone. He is suspended from school, grounded by the Coens, and even Seth won't listen to Ryan about Oliver. The only ally he has is Luke, who vows to help Ryan expose Oliver. Eventually, the truth comes out when Marissa is held at gunpoint in Oliver's penthouse. Meanwhile, Anna can see that Seth still has feelings for Summer and breaks up with him. And in other breakup news, Caleb cowardly asks Kirsten to dump Julie on his behalf.
There's drama and there's fashion and passion and
gunpoint.
We have such a gunpoint. I know. And Marissa making really stupid moves and Seth being such an idiot. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But we have a really cool guest, and I know the fans are really, really excited for our guest. Should we welcome her in?
Absolutely.
So our guest today may be one of the most entertaining, relatable queens working today. This triple threat actress, singer, dancer made her Broadway debut at the age of 15 in the musical 13, starred in the Nickelodeon series Victorious as Jade West, which my daughter and I watched. And since 2017, she has portrayed Fallon Carrington on the CW's Dynasty, Nate I Say More, otherwise known as the best celebrity on earth, everyone, Liz Gillies.
Thank you. That was quite an introduction. Oh, my God.
Yes. Thank you so much for being here, first of all.
No, thank you for having me. I have been wanting to do this, and I'm so excited to meet you guys and to be on your show.
Yeah, you too. I know Josh set us up in the beginning. I think it was on Instagram. He was like, Bilson, meet Liz. You guys make this happen. I was like, okay.
I know. I kept posting about my rewatch online, and then Josh connected us. I guess he felt bad for me. He's like, why don't you go on her show? Because you're obsessed.
Well, I want to tell you how much fun I had getting to know you via Dr. Google and Mr. YouTube. And I admit that, you know, you're like my new girl crush.
Because Thank you.
We have like things in common, like no caffeine, no sun, and we love hats. But
yes, all of that true. Absolutely.
Wait, can we talk about that for a second? No caffeine. Was that like a conscious? What's the deal?
No, I started drinking coffee the end of last year, but I'm addicted to it, but I get only decaf coffee, which is so strange. But I think it's like the ritual of the whole thing. And I only get like lattes. Like I actually hate the taste of coffee, but anyway, I don't drink anything or eat anything with caffeine in it. It's sort of just a coincidence, but
you're like,
my dietary stuff is crazy. Yeah. No, I get really intense in a way that's unhelpful, especially at work when I drink caffeine. I'm like the best version of myself for 15 minutes. And then it's just a nightmare after that.
Right.
So yeah.
Yes. No, it can cause me to get super, super anxiety.
Yes. That's what happens to me.
And it kind of changed like right about your age.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, I was about your age, and all of a sudden caffeine just was not my friend.
No, it
and I don't go in the sun.
Yeah, no, I don't go in the sun either. I spray tan last night just for you guys.
You had to. I need to get ready for the OC, right?
Yeah, I know. You guys are so tan in that show.
Oh, yes.
I mean, I loved the show growing up. And of course, I religiously watched it every week, but I was so much younger. And now as an adult watching it, there are things I pick up on. And I'm just like, were you guys out in the sun having fun, or were you keeping up that tan for the show as well?
I was keeping it up for the show because I don't go in the sun to
right, skin right,
cancer like in my family. And I would go into those booths that they would spray you.
Yeah.
And at one point in my, literally, I would wake up the next morning and my face would have all these little bumps and I would, my whole body would smell like it was just gross.
I know.
And at one point I went, there's no way this is healthy for my lungs either.
Right.
So if you watch the show progressively, we get a little
paler.
Bit lighter. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, amazing. Yeah. Mine was just like pure painting, you know, like makeup and bronzer.
Right.
And it was very, very intense. For a long time. Yeah.
Well, it looked great. You guys are so hot on this show. I mean, you're hot now, but my God, I'm watching it. And I'm just like, geez, the early 2000s, there was nothing quite like it. It's just like, it was just a hotter time in my opinion.
Hotter. Do you think fashion-wise, would you dare to say fashion-wise? It was like,
I actually just had, well, I mean, the fashion was questionable, but it was very bodycon and it was a very, you know, low waisted and crop tops. Mm-hmm. And I mean, and you were on the OC. So it's just the marriage of everything was just kind of perfect. I don't know. It's iconic. It was great.
Right.
Iconic.
Well, I have a question for you just because we were talking about your age. At your age, I could not for the life of me do publicity well. And I've been watching your talk shows and your makeup tutorials and people put together these compilations where I got the quote, literally the most relatable or the best celebrity on the planet.
You're so
and
sweet.
I remember doing like you're so, so charming on James Corden. And
thank you. And
I remember at your age, I did, Conan O'Brien. And
looks
it was such
amazing.
A bad interview that they pulled me aside and I had to do media training after.
No.
So, but that's interesting that you say that because I started on a kid's show and before we did anything, we had to do media training. So we were, you know, around 14, 15 years old, I had to go through, you know, total media training so that I never made any mistakes. And it's actually been interesting learning to peel that back so that I am a little bit more, I sounded like a robot in my really early interviews because you're trained to speak in a certain way that's very unrelatable. You kind of sound like a mini adult in like a 11-year-old's body. Yeah, it's really strange.
Like,
so
yeah,
unlearning, it's been helpful, weirdly. But I think that's why I'm so conscious of saying anything wrong. Meanwhile, in my life, I say all kinds of crazy things. But
I would hope so.
But you don't.
Yeah.
You don't sound self-conscious. Well, you sound like you, found a way to go on these talk shows and it's a skill. It's a medium that one needs to be proficient at in this industry to be a quote, good celebrity.
Right,
and I just never really enjoyed it. And you seem like you enjoy it and you have fun and you're out there.
See, but this is so effortless for you and for both of you. I don't believe that you're bad at interviews. There's no way in hell. Or are you saying just when you were younger?
I'm saying I think this podcast is helping me do it,
I
don't know. I prefer to just be the character and not necessarily. What about you, Rachel? Do you like publicity?
You know, what's so funny is when I was younger, like during the OC, the beginning, and we would have to do talk shows and stuff. I remember my first interview. Oh God, what was his name? I can't remember right now. It'll come to me. But anyway, I was so myself and open and they were like, so what do you like to do? And I was like, I don't know, Dance to Escapade by Janet Jackson. Just like so random and just like throwing things out there. But it was like one of my better interviews because I remember doing Letterman and like calling him out. And I remember like Topher Grace. This is so weird. I don't even know if you know who Topher Grace, like from
of
the 70s
show. Of course I do.
Topher. Just, you know, you're just so much younger, but you're very professional. And I remember him being like, you told off David Letterman. You're like, that's so awesome. Because when I was younger, I didn't care. But as I got older, I think maybe it was even Brody that was like, you need to be prepared when you go on these talk shows because they want you to tell a story. Like Tom Hanks always like prepares so much because he has to have a certain story to tell. And then I got in my head. So it gave me anxiety before going out on these talk shows because I'm like, oh, fuck, like I have to tell a story. I have to be funny. And like I got way self-conscious after that, like being like,
and
you have to prepare.
Your effortlessness and you being truly yourself is probably so endearing and charming to people. I bet it did trip you up when you're like, how do I calculate this? How do I like build it from the ground up as
well,
opposed to just react?
Sweet of you to say, but I always try to refuse pre-interviews because that's what they do. They make you do the interview essentially before you go on to do the interview. And I hate it because it feels so, you know, rehearsed and it makes me very self-conscious. That's just personally how I am.
Totally.
When I did The View, you do that pre-interview with the producer.
Yes.
And you go out and you sit with the ladies and I get to talk to Barbara Walters and you come and you think, oh, okay. And I come backstage and the producer goes, you didn't tell the story the same way you told it to me. Like I got in trouble. That's got an crazy. F. And I was like, oh gosh, well, how did I say it to you? Because it's just a conversation. Right. But yeah.
Yes, and you're listening and you're reacting and it can go to different places, which is yeah. what the audience wants. I mean, you know, a setup is so obvious. My first late night, I did Kimmel and they did the pre-interview and I was throwing out all these stories and I made it a point to myself, like, even if I'm just talking to myself, I'm going to get in all my stories, which is so weird and not what you do. And if I watch that interview back, I just sound like, I'm just like, I won't shut up. So there's definitely a downside to like wanting to hit that target too hard. And I've fallen victim to it for sure.
Yeah. Well, and that's exactly the mistake that people fall into when we go out there and we're not that we're so new in it. We're repeating these stories when in fact, what you need to forget, you need to almost forget about the audience and just have the conversation with the host because you'll miss their cues. And that's what I had to learn to do.
No, me too. One of my favorite interviews is like Kimmel and Jessica Lange, and they're just flirting the whole time. Like they have this insane chemistry that, and she's just, none of it feels rehearsed. It feels like it went way left and it's the most enjoyable interview. Or Angelina on Conan is another great one where she's just like mercilessly flirting with him and he's uncomfortable and he starts to sweat and it's not prepared. And those are the best ones. I mean, absolutely.
I love that you like know those by heart. You're like, yes. And Angelina.
Yeah, I do. I love Jessica Lange and I love Angelina Jolie. There are certain women that I'll watch all their stuff because I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Super cringy.
Super cringy.
Mine was.
I don't think
cringy. They're cringy too in other ways.
Yeah. Other ways. I don't think I'm ever going to be allowed on Kimmel again because he was so, I remember the feedback from his show was that I was too aggressive because at the time I did this like ice cream commercial thing and I ate so much of this ice cream, like it would make me absolutely nauseous. And on the show, they wanted me to show like how I did the perfect bite of this ice cream bar. And I was like, dude, I cannot. Like, I can't do it. Like, I will throw up, you know? And I was younger and looking back, I'm like, you should have just fucking like bit the ice cream. What was the big deal? But I was like, no. Like, even on camera, on air, I had told him before, but he still tried. And I was like, no, like, I'm not going to eat that. Like, no, I can't.
I mean, if you said no, it's kind of on them. They can't force feed you on live TV.
I appreciate that, Liz. I'm going to relay that you said that. And hopefully I will be back in their good graces.
Oh, you will. Even if we have to go on as a trio, you're going to be there. We're going to do it.
I think that's what needs to happen. Kimmel, if you're listening, I know you are. We're coming. Yeah. We're coming for you.
Yep.
So you have obviously done so many things as we talked about, but I was so intrigued to learn that you directed an episode of Dynasty.
Yes, I directed this past season. It was, I'd wanted to do it for years and I shadowed a bunch and I was very thankful that they let me do it. And I had the best time. I want to do it millions of more times. I mean, at the end of it, I wanted to do it exclusively, which I backed off of now, but they're like, no, that's not how this works. You very much still have to be on the show. Nice try. But I had the best time. It was so cool. I mean, you know, it's like you do a trillion episodes of a TV show and then you're like, okay, let me try this. Let me, you know, take a spin. I saw what's his name? Jimmy Cooper, Tate, right?
Tate. Yeah.
He directed your show, right? A bunch of times. Mm-hmm. And he's a director now.
Yes.
Yeah. Randomly, one of our writers, he was like the best man at his wedding. I was talking about the OC aimlessly and it actually found kind of a point where he's like, no, that's my very good friend, actually. And I was like, oh, cool. But yeah, I loved it. I would direct anything, any day. I had the best time. It was so, so much fun. I loved it. Yeah. It was great.
That is so cool. I admire that. I think that's awesome. How did your castmates react to you directing?
They were cool. Of course, you're scared that your castmates are just going to be, you know, assholes to you. But you're like, okay, actually shift gears now. I'm telling you what to do. But they were very, they were super great. I mean, you know, I think being directed by an actor and coming from an actor's perspective is always nice. And they appreciated that. And I really wanted to make it, you know, the best episode it possibly could be. I felt I had a lot riding on it. So they picked up on that and they were super respectful and they did a great job. So it was great. It was wonderful.
That's awesome.
And you've also had a really busy, exceptional year, even though it was COVID.
Yeah.
You got married, right?
I did. I got married. I got married. My anniversary is actually, I think, for the 8th. So what is it today? Yeah, it's very soon.
Oh, you're still a newlywed.
I know. We've been together for almost 10 years, but I'm a newlywed. Right. It's funny when you get married. It's like it starts back to one and everyone treats us like we're a young 1 year couple. And I'm just like, oh, not at all.
But yes.
That's sweet. Yeah, I had this huge wedding plan and then I ended up getting married on a farm in New Jersey with 10 people. And it was amazing. It was
That's so cool.
Perfect. Oh, it was perfect. I would never redo it. I don't want to do over it all. It was awesome. That was,
yeah.
And no one got COVID.
No, you're like, listen, it was a success. No one got COVID. It was a very successful wedding.
Yeah, it was hard to get tested back then. So we took a big swing and we had, you know, like my grandparents were there and I was just like, oh man, if this does not go the way I hope, I'm going to feel really bad. But we pulled it off and it was beautiful.
Are you from Jersey? Is that why you went there?
Yeah, I'm from Jersey.
Whereabouts?
Yeah. Bergen County. I'm like, you know, 20 outside the city. So I spent most of my time either in New Jersey or New York City growing up.
Got it. Cool. I have family. Yeah. That lived in Jersey as well. But that's very cool. But yeah, the whole wedding thing, I think the smaller, that just sounds ideal in my personal
opinion. It was perfect.
Yeah.
It was so humid and hot because it was August, of course, in New Jersey.
How was your hair?
All my makeup. Oh, no. So I did my own hair and makeup as well as my grandma's and my mom's. I didn't even have hair and makeup people.
That's so sweet.
I know, I was going to have this big drag wedding at like the St. Regis in Atlanta. And then I turned out having like a full farm moment and it was amazing. But yeah, I have really curly hair. So right after I got married, my hair was out to here curly and I had no makeup on. And I was like, you know what, whatever.
You were Monica in Barbados.
I literally was exactly what I was. It's so funny. Yes.
That's very cool.
Now also Dynasty has been picked up for a fifth season. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's a really long time. Are you still having a lot of fun?
I'm still having so much fun. Yeah.
I mean,
you know how it goes, but I'm having a great time. It's they keep coming up with new crazy shit. And I do it and I love it. And I played my own mother, which I never saw coming. And you know, they our cast changes constantly. It's kind of like Game of Thrones in that way. So they keep us on our toes and they keep the fans on their toes. And it's really been interesting with the Netflix component. As I'm sure you guys know too, with like HBO Max, it's just this resurgence from people binging your show on different platforms that are not just watching live on TV. It's changed the game in a big way. So internationally, it's huge and it's been great. I'm so thankful to have a show that's run this long and I'm down to keep doing it.
Yeah. And it's in Atlanta, right?
Atlanta.
So you have to live in Atlanta for it. Yeah.
I did. I bought a house here and I guess I'm a Southern Belle now, but I live here. It's cool. It's great.
And you get to sing on the show.
Yeah.
You get to do, there's musical numbers. You did an I Love Lucy episode.
I mean,
you do all kinds of crazy things. Rachel. Yeah. I was on my treadmill watching some episodes this morning.
Oh my God, I love it. Yeah, we did a noir episode. We did a musical episode, an I Love Lucy episode. We have another themed episode coming up. And so, there's really no parameters or limits to what is allowed since we're a soap pretty much.
Right.
And it's fun. I mean, we've really strayed from the original, but like, I'll do whatever. It's almost like a variety show at this point and I'm game. You know? I wish I was on a variety show and I kind of am. So it works out.
It sounds like a lot of fun. You're obviously a lot younger than us.
You keep saying that. I don't feel that much younger than you guys.
I don't know.
I'm
turning 40 this month. So everything to me is like so much younger and I'm going through this thing where like, you know, everyone puts this pressure on
me. I hear everybody just say how much they just adore their 40s. I have never heard anyone say anything different than that. That's what I heard.
And it's just the pressure around it. Like I'm totally fine with it, but like the pressure around it and then feeling like I have to do something big for this birthday. And like, literally I'm just going to take my daughter to Cracker Barrel. Like that is what
amazing.
I want to do.
Go to a farm. That's what I did.
Yeah. Or go to a farm and do my own hair and makeup and, you know, the whole thing.
There you go.
And I'll have the same hair as you, Monica, in full effect. But
amazing.
So when did you like discover the OC and what, like, how did you start watching it and how did it
When it started?
Life?
I was really, what year did it start again? It's
2003. Yeah.
Okay. So I was 10.
What?
And is that really bad math? I was born in 93. Anyway, I was too young to be watching the show.
Yes.
And so I kind of couldn't watch it. My parents weren't strict, but they were just like, you're not watching this at home. There's no
right.
way. And I was like, cool. So I'd run to my friend's house, my best friend, Kristen, and we would like jump on her parents' bed when the theme song came out, especially when it got going at the end, like, Kara, we'd like jump and we'd watch it. And then I remember, you know, the episode where, you know, Marissa died, we like ordered tons of ice cream and we had a morning party with all of our friends and listened to Imogen Heap. And I experienced it fully as it was on, as I guess someone who was a little too young, but I just adored the show. So revisiting it now, after having not seen it in so long, it's been so interesting. And the characters I'm attracted to are the storylines I'm picking up on more. It's just been really interesting. I'm watching it in a very different way. I'm on season 4 now.
Oh,
that's where I'm at.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I know. I did it.
Awesome.
I really did it.
Yeah.
You know, when you were coming on the show, we put up on Instagram, we asked people to send in questions and send in voicemails and write questions. I have never had so many questions on my for you. Rachel, I have thousands of questions.
Wow.
She's really popular.
And a lot of them.
No, a lot
I hope
of
they
them.
Aren't, because that would be fun.
It's a lot of people want to know, like, if you could be any character, what would it be on the OC? Right. What are your favorite storylines? Any of those kinds of questions. Our fans are really, really, they're very smart. They like to understand the crossover. If it
totally. I think it's really interesting. When I was younger, there was this obsession, maybe because of the age we were, with just like Ryan and Marissa and Ryan and Ryan's tank tops and his whole thing. And like, I so appreciated him again this time around, but because I was so focused, this time I picked up on things like, okay, so Melinda, your character is so redeemable. I watched it this time around and I was just like, Julie is so, I totally see her as a fully rounded like character, like doing what she has to do. And she's smart and determined and she's like talented. Like this episode that we're going to talk about, like, you know, when you do The Office and everyone's rolling their eyes and then you nail it, like you're like a totally capable, strong boss bitch. And it's really fun as an adult to like see in your vulnerable sides when you're living in the trailer. I loved it so much. And then Rachel, you and Cohen and your whole cute thing is so, it's like all the moments where you're crying and then the whole controversy with Brown and him lying. It's just, I don't know. There are all these things I picked up on that I totally missed when I was younger, probably because I didn't know what the fuck was going on because I was so young. But who would I be? Oh, and then Sandy and Kirsten, the adult storylines, the swinging episode, like the swingers moment.
You were the
there's
swinger.
There's no way I got that. I wanted to be the swinger. That's how I would be. Who would I be? Fuck. I don't know. Oh, there's so much. I don't know who I would. Maybe.
She reminds
maybe
me of Julie.
Yeah. Oh, I'm most like Julie, I think, for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably.
But it is interesting watching it as an adult, as opposed to when you were younger, right? It's a completely different
show. And they had so much, but you guys were on Fox, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. See, that's the thing. It's like, I'm watching it and I'm like, wow, this has such a strong adult storyline, but it still has such a strong teen storyline. And you don't see that very often, but because you're on Fox, it makes sense. It was like, it was a show for everybody and it was a network for everybody at the time.
At the time, the network, every different season, and Josh could correct me on this because I'm not sure about the timeline, but sometimes they'd say we want heavier teen stories. And then in season three, they wanted more like Desperate Housewife type stories. Mm-hmm. So they were always getting different notes from the network. Yeah.
Or like you and Luke, that moment was... I was living for it. I was like, oh, this is so good. It was with the tracksuit too, when you're crying. And I was just like, this is the most perfect moment. The early 2000s magic.
Talk about low midriff. My God.
So low. Yeah. Oh my God. No, amazing. I've never been able to like rock that properly. So I just have nothing but respect for you guys with all the low cuts.
Oh God. Yeah. We'll leave those in 2003. So today, the episode that we're going to talk about is episode 18 from season one, which is what we said before, called The Truth. This is a pretty, you know, intense episode to unwrap together, I feel like. And I'm really excited that you are here to go over it with us because we get to say bye to Oliver in this episode. And I think that's something to celebrate.
Thank God. Yes, please. He's good, though.
He's so good.
He's a good
actor. He went for it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, everyone hates Oliver and that's the intention. So clearly he did a very good job.
Totally.
And it was 6 episodes is a long arc for a storyline. Mm-hmm. And it feels exhausting. You know, it's going to be refreshing. Although, love him or hate him, that's, you want a strong reaction. And when people hear the word Oliver or the character name Oliver, I think people know exactly who they're talking about.
No, even my friends, they'll be dating someone, I'll be like, he's like an Oliver. You can't. He's such Oliver vibes. I was like, do you want to be in a penthouse? Like, trapped? Don't do it.
Trapped, don't do it.
When we get into the episode, it feels like everybody is just not, it's so frustrating for the audience, but I guess that's great. We don't want them to be apathetic, I guess. But everybody is just making the wrong decisions. And Sandy's trying his best to communicate with Ryan. Ryan's been expelled. Not expelled. He's been, well, suspended with
potential to be expelled.
Expulsion, yeah.
He's suspended indefinitely for now, and he can't leave. Right?
Because he punched him in the mouth. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Which he deserved.
But Oliver. Just saying. But yeah, Oliver drops the charges, and like that's like, oh, that must prove Ryan to be in the wrong. But no, this nutbag wants Ryan to see him stealing his girlfriend. He wants to drag it out a little bit more, right? He wants to make Ryan watch him steal Marissa. That's how he really is, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, accurate. He is insane.
I know, it looks like he's coming unhinged, Ryan, but really, I don't know. We all had Oliver's number on day one, but I think he goes to levels none of us saw coming.
Well, that speaks to like the whole Marissa of it all. And we've talked about this a bit, like how she doesn't see any of it and is so clueless. And like Summer's like, dude, like, and there's a scene in this episode. She's like, dude, like he's in love or whatever. And she's like, no, we're just like just friends. And you want to like shake her and be like, mm-hmm. what is wrong with you? Like how she doesn't see it. It's very frustrating as an audience member watching this.
There's a lot of shaking the fist at this episode.
Oh my
God. I feel like Summer always knows she's going to figure it out though. So she always kind of like gives her two cents however many times she needs to. And then she like backs off and just lets it unravel the way it needs to. And then she kind of just gives a light. I told you so.
She's like
you knew it was going to go badly.
Right. She's like, yeah, you know what? Overdose, almost kill yourself. Right. Like get a gun pointed at you. You do you.
Yeah.
Like, and then you figure it out.
Totally. Right. Totally. I think Marissa she takes people for what she needs them for at the moment. And she doesn't look into it or she turns a blind eye until there's a gun pointed at
you know, it's hard to turn a blind eye to that.
I know, it's true.
Yes, but we've been very frustrated with our dear Marissa.
Yeah, it's frustrating.
Yeah, the naivete is pretty prominent in throughout this whole thing. Mm-hmm. But so it's interesting to kind of peel the layers of Marissa.
Yeah, but all the characters start to question Oliver in this episode, right?
Especially Luke, he goes hard.
I love Luke.
First of all, I just binged Nashville, so I've been seeing a lot of Chris, that's his name, right?
Yeah.
Carmack.
Yeah. He's so lovely to watch. I don't know him. I've never met him. I might never meet him. But I watched him on Nashville. He's just so consistent. He's so good. He has such an earnestness, like in his delivery and in his way, the way he acts. And I always enjoy watching him. Of course, I knew him from this, but again, rewatching, I was like, oh, now I get to see you younger. It almost looks like I took a weird long Chris Carmack binge because I did like 115 episodes of Nashville before this.
Whoa.
So
that's a commitment. Yeah.
He really is that sweet.
He is.
Really, that's so nice to hear.
Oh, absolutely.
The best. Yeah. He did an episode with us and he was so gracious and he's awesome. He's a really good guy.
And yeah.
And we love Luke in this episode. Because
he's a big advocate for Ryan.
He is. He is. Yes. And thank God, because everyone else is like, and Seth is particularly like, Ryan, like lay off, leave her be, you know, and he's the complete opposite, which is another thing you're just like,
right.
Ryan's on to something.
Right. Exactly.
But Ryan makes some bad choices as well.
He does.
You know? He doesn't quite, you know.
Is this where he steals the letter or is that a different episode?
The previous I think.
He already
Thank
did
you,
that.
Liz.
I'm sorry, because I'm a super fan and it's creepy.
No, so it's helpful for me because I can't keep them straight.
The last episode ended with Marissa saying, I can't. You did this. I don't trust you.
Ah.
And I broke up with him.
Got it.
And then this episode starts with that. He's suspended. But also the fact that Ryan's true friends, they're really down in the dumps by what's happening. Mm-hmm. And Oliver, he shows kind of his true cards when he says, hey guys, let's just go.
He wants to go skiing. Come on. He's obsessed with skiing. They're like, chill. Yeah.
He seems almost happy. And everybody's like, that's a little bit, that's a little questionable.
I actually laughed when he came out in the first scene since his punch. And it's twice as big and huge because he's like making a point that Ryan punched him and he wants it to look really big. It almost read like a really dark, funny, comedic moment. That and later in the episode when he's in the hotel and his hair is flat, I thought that was such a smart choice because he looks so weird. That you're like, he usually has this like coiffed and then his hair's flat and you're like, oh, something's not right.
Something's not right because the hair went down.
Yeah.
That's really funny, actually.
It's true. I didn't think of it.
Pointing out this thing.
I want to make sure that we mention Loveless by Eels Plays.
Yes.
When Ryan is bored and then every time we see Ryan, they continue that. That's one of the OC's traditions. Yeah.
The music in the show. I mean, whatever. You probably talk about it every episode. But yeah, I was watching last night and I was just the through line of every time we see Ryan, it picks back up on his theme of the episode, which is that song. Mm-hmm. It's just so cool. And it's something that, I don't know, you guys just, I think you really started that whole thing. I really do. It was just so epic and good.
I have to ask you guys, so when we go into Kirsten and Sandy having lunch to discuss Ryan and then interrupted by Julie, the tornado that is Julie Cooper, what do we think about this outfit and that collar? I don't think it's screen Newport Beach. I don't know.
I see what you're saying.
It's a little much.
I kind of just accept anything that comes to me when it comes to that. I'm sort of like, I can justify why that outfit was chosen, but I see what you're saying. It was a little different. A choice
those
was made.
Those were the days where I was questioning and definitely not feeling like it was representative of what I thought Newport Beach was.
Right.
But of course, then we get to see Alan Dale, who's also a co-star on your show.
Yeah,
do you ever talk to him about the OC?
Of course. Are you kidding? That was the first year on the show. He was just like, Jesus, come on. And that's all I did was ask him about the OC. And he just said the best things. He told me he would like walk to work sometimes. I was like, Alan, stop. You're making me jealous.
But he lived in Manhattan.
Did he really?
He lived close to, I guess, where you guys were filming. But yeah, he's so sexy in this show. I love Alan Dale. He's the best. And he doesn't want to break up with you in this episode. So he asks his daughter to do it.
He asks his daughter.
And he owns it too. I'm skipping ahead. But anyway, we'll come back to it. But he owns whatever. He makes a decision. And he's like.
On Valentine's Day, 1929, a group of gangsters was massacred in a cold Chicago garage. The crime shook the country. And even though investigators had only just started looking for answers, everyone was sure they already knew who was behind the crime. Al Capone. Hi, I'm Jeremy Schwartz, host of the new true crime history podcast, American Criminal. We take you inside the minds of some of our most notorious felons and outlaws, exploring the dark side to the American dream. In our latest season, a child of Italian immigrants sets out to make good on the promises of that dream. But Al Capone's path to success doesn't take him down the straight and narrow. Instead, he transforms himself from a smarter-than-your-average thug into the most infamous criminal America has ever known. Listen to American Criminal Al Capone wherever you get your podcasts. Or to get early ad-free access to the entire season first, plus hundreds of other ad-free history podcast episodes, subscribe at intohistory.com.
Yeah. I want to break up.
But I love his line. He's like, I enjoy the woman. But,
Which, by the way, is so Alan. Like so many, he's not nearly as acerbic or curmudgeon-y as his character on the show. But there are certain things he says or his delivery, even though, of course, he has a thick New Zealand accent, that are so similar, that are just so Alan. And I love it. I enjoy the woman is something he would say for sure.
Well, and a lot of people have had questions, and that was a lot of the questions on my Instagram. They wanted to know if you spoke with Alan. But
yes.
And people have asked us what he was like in real life. And he was exactly that. He's jovial and a great sense of humor.
Yeah.
And you're giggling all the time. And yeah, he plays these pretty serious, strong patriarchal
stoic men.
Kind of characters.
It's so funny. No, he's just he's super quick witted and he's constantly, we're taking jabs at each other all day. I mean, he's the best. Yeah.
Yes.
That is my definition of the best is when someone can just talk shit back.
All day.
I agree. All day.
That's all we do. It's good.
There's a lot of breaking up in this episode. I know we're jumping all around, but there's the other thing going on with Anna and Seth and Summer. Where Summer's lonely and she literally just invites herself with them, which I'm like, that's ballsy because I could never do that. But Summer is a little ballsy at times. And she's like third wheeling it with them. But Seth is being a little dick.
He's obsessed with you.
Even watching it, I'm like, that really sucks. Like, that's your girlfriend. Could you imagine though if that was your boyfriend and like the girl that he always like had a crush on? And this just wouldn't fly.
And Sandy's just so ready to attack that because not only is he like totally internalizing Ryan shutting him out, so he really wants to give guidance and be listened to by somebody in his house or one of his sons, but also I honestly, this is going to sound so bad, but whatever. I was watching it, and when they kept doing all those little close-ups of Anna and then Sandy clocking it, I was, and then she went into the kitchen. I wasn't like, not Sandy and Anna, right?
You never know.
You never know.
Is that more Dynasty, less OC? Yeah.
A little more Dynasty, less OC. Like, Sandy would never, but like she felt seen by him and she was clocking that he was clocking her. And I thought maybe like a weighted hug. But then I said, not in this episode because we get a weighted hug later with Julie and Luke. So we have to wait. But I thought it was funny when he smacks him on the head. I remember that actually from watching it as a kid. For some, you remember weird shit when you're rewatching. Yeah. You're like, I think he hits him here. Yeah, he did.
Okay. Yeah.
But, yeah, he's ignoring her.
It's a famous blooper where he smacks him a bunch of times. And I think Brody says, I'm calling child services.
That's awesome. That's great. That was sweet, that whole storyline. And he just wants to teach you about comics and he just wants you to be the, he just has like a, it's different, you know, and everyone sees it.
Yeah.
I think she really is lonely. She's already said that Oliver's taken her friend. She doesn't have Seth. And
yeah.
And your delivery is so cute.
I know.
It's like, then I'm all alone. But I don't think she's being manipulative.
I don't either.
She really does want to just hang out.
Yeah, I think she literally doesn't want to be alone. And her best friend won't hang out with her because she's with the psychopath. It sucks.
Right.
I feel for her. I understand. But I definitely think, like we said, Seth is being not cool to his girlfriend, even though she's not supposed to be his girlfriend because Summer is, clearly.
Right. Exactly.
Right. I think he's temp, you know, when Sandy pulls him aside and says, I need to talk to you. And Seth walks in with that body language of this, like, what? And, you know, because kids, teenagers like that, they just think they know everything. They have the answer to everything. And he's like, so I'm not flirting. Yes, you were. Okay. Is this about Ryan? And he's like, no, it's not. And he was like, it is at least 10%. It is about Ryan. Right. So he is perceptive, but he is kind of a jerk. He definitely stands up to his dad. You know what I mean?
Oh, he flipped the script. He went in there and just flipped it and was like, I hope you get better. And Sandy's like, wait.
Right.
Yeah.
Seth's special.
Especially then when after, I know we're jumping around, but then when they find out that, you know, Marissa's okay. And he says, we better call Summer. And Anna's like, why?
Yeah.
And that's true. It's like, why do we need to, because it's her friend, but she doesn't even know yet. So she's like, that's just, no, I'm done. We're over. And it, I mean, I've got to hand it to Anna where she's portraying a strong female character that's not going to put up with this. A lot of girls would say, oh, okay. You know, because Seth keeps saying all the right things, but his actions are different than what he's doing.
No, she teeters between really soft and hurt and almost pouty, but also just like strong and self-assured and not going to humor herself on something that doesn't have legs. And that's why her character is cool in that way, for sure. And it continues to be.
Yeah, I think feel like a lot of the female characters on the show do show a lot of strength and independence.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Marissa obviously has her. I feel like she may have been the weakest when it comes to that stuff. But like Julie and Summer and Kirsten and Anna, like everyone kind of stands up for themselves and really sticks to their guns, which sticks to their guns, which plays into this episode. but the scene that, when I really, really hated Oliver the most was the scene in the library where Ryan, you know, leaves Marissa the message to like meet him in the library after school. And first of all, he deletes it. He checks her fucking voicemail. But Marissa, why are you leaving your phone on the table? Can we just like, who
leaves it? It was a different time. Maybe we
your
left
flip
the phone.
It was a flip phone.
Maybe.
You're like, why do I need it with me? It was pointless. Totally. And when they meet in the library and Oliver just lies to Ryan. Like, he's such a little shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's playing unwell really well, though. Because once you realize he's not just an asshole, that he's unwell, you're like, ooh.
Yeah. Watching it older, and having, like, more of an understanding of mental illness, you're like,
yeah.
Okay.
He's checking all the boxes pretty well.
I could see, like, borderline, like.
Right. And when he smiles, it's
utter horror.
It's rough.
It does help you understand Ryan's motivation, though, because nobody is getting the Oliver that Ryan's getting.
Right.
Everyone else is getting this other. And that is that true manipulative, narcissistic, whatever bipolar sociopath that he is.
Right.
It's working.
Right. But
Ryan's
sees
not going to give up.
Luke sees it
but
as
Luke
well.
Sees it. That was a great scene when he sits down. He says, are you talking for her?
Right.
And he's like, dude, I'm out of here. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, I got to give props to the props because I love that the food on the trays are always character appropriate. Like Luke had two cheeseburgers.
That's
right?
Amazing.
I didn't notice that.
That's so good.
Like Sandy has a pastrami and rye. Kirsten has a little salad, but he's like,
but Sandy did something weird.
What?
He did something weird. He, unless this is a theme that I missed, cause I'm from New Jersey. I'm big on bagels. I've ordered bagels twice this week and I'm in Atlanta. He ate the bagel like this in little tiny balls.
What?
I understand it from like I want to eat in a scene and I don't want to have to reset my bagel every time, but
that's probably
bagel,
what it was.
Like aficionado, what you'd never
you don't ever
do
eat
that.
A bagel like that, especially a New Yorker or
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or like if you're so well versed in bagels, maybe he's like trying something new because he knows everything there's to know about bagels. That's the only way I can justify it because I was a little freaked out. And it looks like a salt bagel too.
I have another justification possibly.
Okay.
So in that scene, Kirsten has been allocated to her kitchen because Julie took over the office and everything's all over. And he's like, I need some food and
right.
I need some coffee and I need my wife back. And he's almost doing it out of protest because he can't
okay,
cut the bagel
like
and smear it. And
that's a really good call.
Yeah.
That has to be it.
That's like more of a character study.
I'm going
like
to tweet
it.
Him today and see if he'll answer me as a fan.
Yeah, saying, can you ask? I'd like the answer to
Peter
that.
Peter Gallagher. Yeah, I mean, I think that must be it. That's like some really, that's meta. I mean, that's really good.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
I mean, my reason definitely would have been he doesn't want to eat it too many times in the scene.
Yeah, that's well, just my that selfish too. Actor thought.
Yeah, of course. Like, because that's what you do. You're fuck, I got to eat this bagel.
Like, I know. I'm always like three blueberries and a strawberry.
Oh, yeah.
That's always what I eat. I'm like, if any of you guys watch this show, it's all my character talks about eating steaks and lobster and bacon. The irony, of course, I haven't had red meat in like 13 years. All I ever eat are little berries. That's all I ever eat. Really
you're
stupid.
Smart. Well, you got to think ahead with those yeah. things for sure.
But yeah. you make the mistake at one point in your young career where you
yeah.
just go, oh, cool. I get to eat as much as I want. But guess what? It's a scene because it's a dining table scene and it's going to take 4 days to get your 12 characters. But you've got to keep repeating that food.
Oof.
Oh, no.
We did a Sunday scene this year. And my he's not even that green. But my guy who plays my husband on the show was like, oh, my God, it's 7 a.m. But it's kind of cool that we get to have Sundays. And I'm like, are you six? Don't eat this Sunday. Don't eat this Sunday. And so he was doing full. He's like, wouldn't it be funny if my character ate the whole thing and scraped the bowl? And I'm like, don't do it. And he, because you know me, I'm doing like a lick of whipped cream off the tip of the spoon, whatever.
Course.
And then he starts to look green. And I'm just like, this is like kids, like Bagel Bites commercial 99 issues right here. Like this is such an old school, this is you learn this day one. I don't even know what you're doing
day
right
one.
Now. Like how, but yeah, he learned it.
Do not commit. Do not commit
to
the full consumption. That is.
Like you, right? Like
yes.
You have a problem with your ice cream.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't have a choice. I had to, you know, it was a little different.
Of course.
But. Yeah.
It was an ice cream commercial.
It was an ice cream commercial. Technically, I had to eat it.
Yeah.
But, you know, yes, we have spit buckets and all that stuff. But, you know,
oh,
but
God.
If you're
but then
on
if you
camera,
want to do that, it's like,
it's disgusting. I know. And yes, that's one of the first things. It's like, if it's a really long scene, I'm like, I need to find a chair in the scene. Number one, because if I'm standing in heels this whole time, I'm going to die. And if it's eating, give me a crumb of bread and I'm good.
No, that's something later in life. I was just like, I really feel, not later in life, later in the season always, I'll be like, I really feel my character's at a point where she needs to sit.
Yep.
I think she needs to sit. And I'd be like, why? Yeah. And I'd be like, it's her motivation.
It's her motivation.
So
that's what
do you
I'm
want
to
do. More actor words? Because
what we're doing right now is like the Joey acting school for everyone. I keep doing Friends references today, but you know, it's the Joey acting school 101. Always sit and be careful what you commit to eating.
Or lean. If they tell me I can't sit, I always have my hand on like the back of a chair. It's like, I'm like an 80-year-old woman. I need to be supported by something.
Because on hour 22, you need something holding you up.
Totally.
But going back to our bagel scene, it ends with, you know, Julie kind of shoves her way in to coffee, but then she ends up on the patio. And Ryan now wants to appeal to Julie's overprotectiveness of Marissa, but she plays it like an ice queen. So you don't really see what's going on. And inside, she's clearly freaking out. about what he's saying about Oliver and his daughter or, and her daughter. So, but it also sets up kind of something as a theme for the series that Julie and Ryan end up in cahoots when it comes to Marissa quite a bit.
As we
get into it. Oh yeah. The old Volchuk.
Oh God. Forgot about him.
And that, how can you? I've been dreading. Once he was introduced, my stomach dropped. I posted on my Instagram. I was like, oh shit. Just about the intro with him like on the beach. And everyone's just like, damn, there he is.
There he is. Oh my
Anyway, God. I saw the turn in your eyes though. He said the thing about his ex-girlfriend killing himself. And I think that like, I saw something, you know, you could tell that you were going to do something.
But yeah, she's not going to play it all to Ryan. But then Oliver tries to get her, guilt her into going to LA, which is something we used to do. We used to take day trips. I grew up in Orange County and to LA. And finally, Luke and Seth have a glimmer of, well, Luke's already been there, but Seth is like, and the day before, the days before you could Google, did Natalie go to Pacific High?
Well, Luke has friends that go there, right?
And I love when Ryan, somebody says, ask to see her yearbook. It's just something so pure that I would never think to do now, but I might've thought to do then, you know, it's like, let me see your yearbook. Like if I said that to anybody now, they'd be like,
what is that? Like, I don't know. Just Instagram.
They do say though about this show, like why it's so special. My friends and I really, we did this together. So we were talking about it. It's the social media craze. And because of that, there are scenes where you guys are playing like, you know, PlayStation, or you're playing a game, or you're playing cards. And it's just this, it's has this innocence. And I think that's why it has this special little twinkle that even Gossip Girl right after it doesn't have. That it has something different because that was the boom of social media. So because it predates it, it had this special little thing that I just love. So the See Your Yearbook line is a perfect example of that charm. So yeah, she doesn't end up going with him, right? She doesn't go to Oh, no, she does. She goes to, well.
She does go.
I couldn't remember if his penthouse was in LA or if it was in Orange County. That's right. They go to LA. Okay.
When Marissa shows up and Ryan runs down there and to intercept Marissa, and she's furious that you would say that she would say that he would say anything to my mom. And of course, Julie comes out with, you're in big trouble. Who says that? Like, I don't, I wouldn't ever say that to my daughter. That's something like a kid. Anyway, but of course she takes off and shows up at the penthouse and asks if she can spend the night. I know, right? I mean, it's yes.
He's like, the night you can spend forever.
Yeah, I know.
He's like, I made a cardboard box for you.
Oh my God. This was a lot of like yelling at the TV. And Natalie.
The Natalie of it all.
The Natalie of it all. Now,
so when she goes, she asks Natalie if her clothes are there, and instead, and when she figures out that that's Natalie Bishop, she doesn't run out of the hotel. She actually goes back up to the mentally ill.
She's like,
person.
I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to see this. I'm going to go see. I'm going to make sure I lock the door behind me, and I'm going to ask him a question.
I know. What the fuck is wrong with her?
And then when he admits it, she doesn't run out of the hotel room. She goes to her phone and calls Ryan.
I know.
But we've got, we still have to do these things in television so that, that security, security can show up so that everybody can very safely join in behind security with this kid waving a gun.
Everyone's like this. Everyone's vibe is like this. And I'm like, that's a gun, you guys.
Everyone's like pretty relaxed. And I love that Sandy's like, I'm going to talk him down. Like he's like the negotiator.
Sandy's like, I'll give Ryan a shot, but this is my thing.
Yeah, and this
like,
is my
he's
thing.
He's kind of excited. He's like rolling the sleeves up. But he hit himself so hard against the head when he's like, stupid. I always do this stupid. I'm like, whoa.
He went for it.
He did. He really That's what I'm saying. Like he was really good.
Really good. Yeah. Really good.
But I know it's just so, I agreed with you though. Everyone's just kind of standing there and I'm like, this dude could easily just shoot himself, Marissa, any of you. And they're just like, And it's basically
maybe Natalie was like, no, he does this. He's gonna, it'll be him. If anyone, you're good. You're good. It'll be him. He's gonna kill himself. It's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. It was bound to happen. And
he's not even gonna do it. He does this a lot. It's just, it's exciting though, when you get a guest star who has this 6-episode arc and then they usually don't, I mean, in our case, they don't always know what 5 or 6 are going to look like. They try them out for 1 or 2. And then if it's going well, they give them this big thing. So it's a lucky, great moment when they can show up and deliver that big scene. And he did. So that's cool.
Of course, since this was the last episode of Oliver, I went back and I really wanted to look at what some of the reception was. Mm-hmm. And, you know, love him or hate him, he had such a strong reaction. Entertainment Weekly listed him as the 21 most annoying characters ever.
And That's great.
I know, right? He was irritating and an addicting person to watch. And he was able to exude as much hate that a writer could place on a single character. That was a quote.
Oh my God. I look at certain characters and I'm like, how could you ever play not this? This is you. And for him, I could tell he could play other things. I could just tell. But then I look at like Volchuk and I'm like, that's you, bro. Like, I can only see you as this. You're that guy. But I went on a thing where I'm like, I want to go on his IMDb. I know he's worked. I know he's done things, of course. So I want to see. I want to see what I want to see.
The other characters.
Like, baking a pie, like a pie in the movie. I mean,
Before, I know we just kind of got to the end of the episode, but selfishly, I'd like to comment on Luke showing up and Julie's crying in that black juicy suit.
Yes.
And I watched with my 21-year-old daughter, CG, who was like, sexy, juicy. And I had to look at her and I said, was that cringy, honey? Was that cringy? And she was like, no. It's funny.
It was so good. I don't know. It's just, you just play the character so perfectly. And the juicy suit just added a layer to it. By the way, I thought that was weird. He was laying on the bed. I know that he was young and like, that's his former girlfriend, but he was laying on that bed while you were packing up your stuff. And I was
It's
very familiar.
Is that the really low rise juicy suit that you wore?
Yeah. The black
really
one.
Low rise.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You looked hot.
Yeah.
It was good.
Super hot. It was amazing. Does your daughter ask if you have all those clothes that she puts it so back in now? I mean, it's come full circle completely.
She does. I have a few little things. Like I have my outfit from the trailer. I do have some things, but I don't have that juicy. I actually think I may have had something, but anyway.
We should just touch on that. Anna does wind up breaking up with Seth.
Yeah.
Yes.
And conveniently
she does.
Goes to Pittsburgh immediately. But anyways, she breaks up with him. And I understood, and selfishly, I felt the victory while watching.
Sure.
Did you?
And
did you guys have fun? Did you get along, or was it just just kind of work? Yeah, because you had a lot of scenes together.
We did. Samir and I were friends. We knew each other before the show, I think.
Cool.
Yeah, we were friends, but you get into your characters, and then you get into the storyline, and so you know, there's always that.
And
little,
you had an actual like. Rivalry competition. It went a long time.
Yeah, it did go a long time. And there was definitely that, like, where you get a little too into the storyline and your characters, and you're like, no, no, I need to win.
Yeah, of course. How old were you now on the show?
21.
Again? Because 21. Yeah. So when you started?
Yes. I was 21 when I started.
That's cool. So you were all around the same age, except for.
Misha was like 16 when we started.
That is really crazy.
That's really crazy.
It's a really different thing.
Yes, as you know, because you've worked forever.
I do, but I mean, that's...
you were a teen star. How did you deal with fame at such an early age? Because Victorious was really popular. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I watched it.
I had this thing in my head, like I want to be known for this certain type of thing that I do. I don't even know if I've done it yet. So every time it's not exactly what I want to be known for, or if it's something I want to kind of not have people burn out on me for, I know that I'm saying this really poorly, but I tried not to do too much press when I was on Victorious because I didn't want to get pigeonholed too hard when I wanted to move on to my next thing. So I laid as low as I possibly could while still being on a hit TV show. And I also just don't, I don't engage a lot in kind of online stuff when it comes to anything personal or anything. I don't share too much about my personal life. I kind of have a version of a character that I put out that I'm comfortable with sharing and that I think the fans still feel engaged. And it's totally me. But I think in keeping some things to myself and keeping my private life private, that's helped me out a lot because that can get hard. But it's not always your choice. And back then, the paparazzi was so insane.
The media
was so insane. I was just talking about this with someone else. It was a different time. I mean, it was the Wild West when it came to that. So I give a lot of credit to all you guys. I mean, who had to kind of be on such a hot show during that time. It's so hard. I can't even imagine. Well, I just pet my dogs in my house and hide. And that's all I do. And now I get to wear a mask everywhere and a hat and a hood. So I'm just like, I'm living my life.
You make a really good point because there was no Instagram.
No.
And now as a celebrity, you can almost be in control of the photos that you can put out there. So there's not as high of a demand of people chasing you around. But also, when you're on a hit show, there are powers that be, whether it's Warner Brothers needing you to show up at a certain party or your publicist saying you need to be seen at a party.
Yeah.
And those things would be Monday through Thursday night every week. Mm-hmm. They're not on the weekends. And going out all the time is you're being told that's what you're supposed to do. But you're saying that you were a little bit more, you were more selective. You didn't do
that.
You didn't overexpose yourself.
Yeah, I just didn't, you know, and when they're the press back, I don't know, I guess it was 2009, 10, 11. So the teen magazines were still a thing more so than online. And so it was all about like, what do you look for in a guy? What makes you cry? How do you deal with bullies? All this. And I would just give like blanket statement answers because I was like, I don't want to get into it. So then people weren't looking at me for that. I was sort of anonymous and I was sort of more my character than who I am as a person. And I would be more joking as opposed to ripping my heart open for everybody. And that works better for me because I am private. Yeah. And the more you give people, the more they'll weigh in on it and the more they want to take from you. So, but yeah, I was thinking about the paparazzi thing. You can control whatever you put out. If there's an ugly picture that comes out of you walking in the street, you can post a bikini selfie in the next hour and be like, no, I'm actually hot. So you can erase that in your mind. Nice. But back in the day, you probably had to hire paparazzi to be like, okay, can you come at this hour? Because I'm going to be ready for you. And then we're going to get those out, right? To combat these bad ones that came out the day before. I mean, it must have been, I can't even imagine.
Yeah. I mean,
right.
Yeah, it was definitely a different time. The paparazzi thing, you know, all of the panty-less photos coming out of limos was like a big theme. And it's just like, that was the theme those days.
You're set up to fail. You had the fashions of the early 2000s, which were very hard to keep in place.
Very hard.
Low sports cars that were really cool and you had to get out of the car. And what are you going to do?
Yeah, it's everything like was working against us. I mean, exactly. A recipe to fail and show your vagina. Okay.
100%.
So we have some quiz questions for you, Liz.
Okay.
If you're willing.
Sure.
What shoes does Summer comment on that Supergirl is wearing in this episode?
Oh my God. I just talked about this last night. You say that she's wearing, it's not Doc Martens, right?
It is Doc Martens.
Yeah.
Ding, ding.
I'm so happy.
Good. Cool. Good work. Okay. And that's cool that she's wearing Doc Martens, FYI.
That is. That's really cool.
Yeah. I like it.
What does Sandy say is the key to a successful relationship with the Cohen men?
Honesty? Hold on. I'll revise it. I know I'm not allowed to, but I'm going to do it again.
We're going to allow you to.
No, it's okay. You can tell me because I got it wrong. It's okay.
We'll be patient for your answer.
Oh, maybe it's patience.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah. And then that's what Summer picks up. That's not Summer. That's what Anna picks up on in the kitchen. She goes, patience. And then she tries to be patient, but can't. Okay.
See,
okay,
you went above and beyond.
I got it wrong, and then I tried to make it right.
You did. Which character never appears in the series? Summer's mother, Summer's father, Ryan's father.
Ryan's father. It's your mother?
It's Summer's mother.
Oh, right. Because they're always talking about because they're divorced.
Can you guys tell me where is Summer's mother?
Ryan's father?
Yeah. Don't you have something with him, Mindy / Julie Cooper?
It was Kevin Sorbo.
What episode, what season was this?
In the fourth season where he comes back.
So you just started the fourth season,
That's why. That's unbelievable. I got betrayed by, I went further than I needed to in my research and I'm in season 4, but I have not yet met Ryan's father. That's amazing. Yeah, your mother's kind of like a legend because he's remarried. He ends up being remarried, your father, to like the one who's addicted to pills, right? Or is that your mother?
No.
The stepmom.
That's your stepmother.
Yes, I talk
to her.
So do I ever talk about my mother?
When you're talking about like when he starts to date Julie.
Right.
Mom left. It's kind of it.
I got Ash Schwartz. What's up with?
Yeah. What's the deal?
Summer's mom. Okay.
If they reboot it, I'll play. Summer.
You should. Yep. Because that's yes. Done.
I hope they don't reboot it. They're not going to reboot it, right?
Yeah. So that's interesting because people like have different feelings on that.
No, I don't want it.
Yeah.
I don't want it.
Yeah.
I don't want it.
I think that's the answer that we get from, you know, rebooting is no, maybe a reunion, but not a reboot.
And take it from someone who's on a reboot. I don't want that. I don't want the OC reboot. It's too precious. I don't want to touch it.
We have voicemails. We have a voicemail for you, Liz.
Hi, this is Nick and Lou. We're sitting here watching episode number 18, and we have a question for you. Whatever happened to Luke at the end delivering Marissa's clothes to the hotel? did he get stuck in traffic? Did he get stuck in Julie Cooper? We don't know. So if you guys could clarify, whatever happened to Luke? Thanks.
Wow.
Did he get stuck in Julie Cooper? I think that's my favorite.
That's amazing.
That I love you. Thank you for that.
I think I'm going to go with Ryan said, I've got it, because he leaves and Luke detours exactly back to Julie Cooper.
He's like, Julie, do you want to go get another burger? I only had two today and I'd love one more.
Yeah, totally.
That's funny. He does disappear.
He does. You know, I think that crossed my mind too, watching it. I was like, wait, Luke is going, but where are her clothes? Where is he? Well, now we know. Wow. In Julie Cooper.
That's a good question.
That was a good question.
I hope Josh is going to be okay with us poking holes in the storyline.
It's okay. We're hacking a lot.
Yes, better poking holes in continuity than condoms. Okay, anyways.
Oh my God, look at that.
Listen, I'm feeling really just crass
that
today.
Should be your housewives slogan if you ever do like Housewives of Beverly Hills.
That is. That should be the tagline.
I always
tagline.
Say it's better poking holes.
Yeah, in stories than in continuity than condoms. Okay. On that note, let's listen to another voicemail.
Hi, everyone. First, I just want to thank you, Rachel and Mindy, for doing this.
ASMR.
I grew up on the OC and had actually just turned 4 when it came on. And I would, you know, try and sneak downstairs and watch it with my much older siblings. But I'm glad that I did, because it eventually inspired me to be a writer and director. And I just graduated from college with a cinema degree, so definitely have been learning a lot through these podcasts, probably more than some of my classes, but yeah, I'm just very grateful, so thank you for doing this. My question is for Liz. As someone that's a fan of the show and has worked with Josh and Stephanie, I'm curious if you've ever found yourself channeling any character from the OC while working on, you know, a show or a movie or even on stage. All right. Thank you, guys.
There's so much to unpack before I answer my question.
I mean, four years old. That is.
I have this vision of like a 4-year-old in a juicy tracksuit, just like watching the OC and just being like, oh my God, Julie and Luke are.
I mean, I can't.
Okay, that's
even.
Amazing. Okay. Wait, this is great. Okay. Yeah, actually, you know what? Just because there are some through lines, same creators, same very different tone of show, but there are many similarities in like the big stakes moments. Like I've been held at gunpoint several times. We've had several things that are really similar happen. I have a lot of moments where I feel Julie-ish, like we talked about, but I have to say Marissa's workload is very, I watch it kind of like as an out, like as somebody who like my season 2 was very reminiscent of whatever season where I was like, when did Misha sleep? Because I don't understand how she's like crying and getting beat up and overdosing all this month. Like, this is such a crazy schedule. I don't even understand what's going on right now. And for that reason, I can empathize with her situation. I can empathize with Marissa as being my character too. Sometimes she just doesn't see things that are right in front of her because it's sort of, there needs to be one and you need to have someone who's like, why, what's the problem? And then all of a sudden they're like, no. And so for that, I'd say, I relate to Marissa in that way, character-wise, similarity-wise. Yeah.
They also give you some really juicy dialogue.
Yeah, they do.
Which
that's where I feel a little bit more like that's the Julie connection. Like I get these delicious insults or these little things. And then honestly, I've had this soft side with my now husband on the show, Liam, that really reminds me of when they really went there emotionally with you and Cohen. And so that reminds me of stuff too. So I don't know, a whole bunch of stuff.
That was really, that was really cute though. Her voice.
Super cute. And also she's like an amazing ASMR voice. That's what I was saying. You know what I mean? She's like, hello everybody. I was like, okay. Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah. And so do
and
you.
She's learning so much from your show, which is
That's
amazing.
I know, that's so cool. But still, yeah, 4 years amazing. Old. I mean, my daughter's six, and I'm like, well, I can't even wrap my head around that one.
I have one more question for you because the fans were asking on my Instagram, because you do have such a beautiful voice and I had so much fun listening and I will be listening more. The album that you did with Seth MacFarlane, because I love all of those, of that era of music. But people want to know if you're still working on music and if you have something new coming out.
Yeah, I'm always working on music whenever I can. But as you guys know, it's just schedule wise with these shows. It's so much of your time and you come home so depleted. I never come home and feel like I want to get on the piano and kind of come up with something really creative. I usually want to go to sleep or I have to spray tan at night, which is not very artistic, but it's the way it goes. But whenever I get a break and whenever I'm inspired, I'm always jotting things down. I have a million voice memos and unfinished songs in my phone. And it's not something that I'm just going to abandon. And once the time is right, maybe when I'm 40, I will release an album. I say this all the time. They hate it. It's the worst answer. And I get a lot of shit for it, but I do mean it. It just has to make sense. Yeah. It's like they can choose to either not see me for 2 years on TV, which is fine, and I'll make my album, but you can't always have both unless it makes sense. You know, it's like a 10-month shooting schedule.
Yeah.
You know? So it's intense.
God, how many episodes do you guys do?
22. Although you guys did, what, 27 one
year? The first year. Yeah, the first year was 27.
I'd never seen that in my life. I was like, what am I even looking at? 27, 24, was it?
Yeah, I think, yeah, they don't do
that. That's amazing. Anymore? I mean, that's unheard of.
Yes.
No, it's crazy.
Well, please give Ellen Dale a big hug for
us. Yes, absolutely.
He will be doing the podcast in the future, ladies and gentlemen. Just so you know, I'm in contact with him.
I'll write in a fan question. Tell me when it's happening and I'll write in a very naughty fan question
please.
For him.
Throw him off guard. Do. That would be awesome. We'll ask him. It'll play into his whole booty call.
Oh my gosh, right?
Of it all.
What's a booty call?
Oh my God. So funny.
It was never a delivery had it been made.
Yeah. It has been so fun having you, Liz. Thank you for taking the time to talk with us.
And this was awesome. Thank you for having me. It was so nice talking to you guys.
You are so awesome. And it's so nice to meet you finally. And Schwartz just raves about you all the time. So I'm like just very, very happy to have met you and talked to you. And you're beautiful. And congratulations on your wedding a year ago.
Thank
or your anniversary coming up, I should say.
Thank you. Right. Yes, exactly. Thank you guys. And thank you for having me. And I'm so glad that we got to do this. And it was the most fun. So thank you.
Yeah. So just a little disclaimer, everyone. Whenever I say the word Kimmel, what I actually mean is Fallon. Jimmy Fallon, not to be confused with Jimmy Kimmel. Fallon. Like I said, what I mean is Fallon.
Thank you so much for listening. Follow, rate, and review. Welcome to the OC Bitches, wherever you listen to your podcasts. And if you like to watch us, check us out on YouTube.
Thanks.
Oh, see you next week.
There she goes with her tagline.
Hi, everyone. It's Rabia Chaudhry.
And I'm Ellen Marsh.
And we have a new podcast called Rabia and Ellen Solve the Case. As you know, I am a very smart lawyer.
You are. You're so well-respected in the entire world. You know everything.
Thank you so much.
And as you know, I am a famous Broadway star. Gorgeous. I sing like a nightingale.
Well, yes. At least that's what your mom says. Just kidding. This is Ellen Marsh. And
that's I'm Rabia.
But we are teaming up to bring you a show like you have never heard before.
True crime meets talk show. Nobody's done it. We're going to do it. We're going to do the impossible. And it's the two things that I love. Ellen, I think you like it too.
What? True crime and talking?
Yeah.
I'm there. Every other week, we will have a guest talking about whatever true crime case they are obsessed with. We have a list, everything from the Lacey Peterson murder.
Yeah, some of the most famous cases you've ever heard of, obviously, like JonBenet Ramsey, the West Memphis Three.
Chris Watts, Khalif Browder.
Elisa Lam, Madeleine McCain.
Sandra Bland, the Springfield Three. The list goes on and on. But they are all cases that you know, and we are going to dive in deep with someone else and just talk about them.
No, we're going to solve the case, Ellen.
That's right. We're going to solve the case. So subscribe to Rabia and Ellen Solve the Case wherever you get your podcasts.